Each shift of the spotlight highlights a learning opportunity for the child. What's happening in autism? The social play routines, sensory social routines, that we have encouraged you to build with your child in Chapter 5, build on turn-taking. The back-and-forth interaction of you starting a game, your child responding with indications of enjoying the game and wanting more, and you continuing. This whole back-and-forth dance builds the child's awareness of turn-taking and of the whole purpose of communicating. This comes easily to most children, but it is more difficult for children with ASD. They may be less aware of their partner's turns because they are less tuned in to the subtle communications of eyes, face, and voice that speak volumes to most babies. For children with ASD, the volume of those communications seems to be turned down. Joni wanted so much to play with her 2-year-old son, Jacob. He was her first child, and she had looked forward to being a mother and being a good playmate for her child. She had gathered many toddler toys from garage sales and hand-me-downs. And she had cleared out space in the family room TV shelves for his toys. But all he ever wanted to play with were his little cars, and all he wanted to do with them was drive them back and forth along the edge of the coffee table or carpet. He liked to watch the wheels turn as he ran them along. Joni tried to play cars with Jacob, but he got upset when she touched them, and he wanted them back. She tried to show him how to use the toy parking garage with the cars, but he wasn't interested in it. He just took the cars off and lay down on his side to run the cars back and forth on the carpet in front of his eyes. It made her sad, having him turn away to play alone. She felt like a failure as a mom and didn't know what to do. Why is it a problem? When young children with ASD do not tune in to their parents' communications or do not respond to them, take a turn, they miss the opportunity to build critical skills, imitation, sharing emotion that underlie communication. The risk is that young children with ASD will continue to play mostly alone, rather than to draw parents into their activities or to look for social responses from their parents. They may become more and more removed from the social world around them and from all the crucial learning experiences available within that world. This early lack of engagement not only interferes with their learning, but also occurs during a very sensitive period of brain development, when their brain cell networks are particularly ready to absorb and process social and language information. This sensitive period lasts only a few years during early childhood, and we want to make sure that those developing brain networks are receiving the input information they need to learn to process social communication. Fortunately, there are lots of ways to turn up the volume of your communication, making the learning opportunities present in your turns stand out for your child. In this chapter, we focus on taking turns in play with toys or other objects and in other daily activities so your child no longer misses the learning opportunities inherent in social interaction, but instead learns to expect your responses, imitate you in play, use gestures and words, and experience the fun of social interaction. What you can do to increase your child's turn-taking skills. There are 6 specific steps you can carry out to increase your child's participation in taking turns. Step 1. Understand the 4-part framework of joint activities for taking turns. Step 2. start to practice. Beginning involves setting up the joint activity. Step 3. Set the theme. Step 4. Elaborate the joint activity. Add the variation. Step 5. Close the joint activity and start another. Step 6. Create joint activities during other daily routines to foster multiple areas of development. We describe how to carry out each of these steps, give you some ideas for activities to try, and suggest what you can do to solve problems that may come up. Step 1. Understand the 4-part framework of joint activities for taking turns. There is a specific structure for carrying out play with very young children that is particularly rich in learning opportunities for social communication and turn-taking. Joint activities, or joint activity routines, were originally described and given those names by a very influential language scientist. A joint activity is like a conversation, involving a set of turns between you and your child based on a shared activity. In Chapter 5, you learned how to build sensory social routines, mainly those that don't involve toys or objects. In this chapter, you'll learn to do the same thing with toys and other items, devising joint activity routines that may last for 2 to 5 minutes for very young children. The framework consists of the following 4 parts, each of which is elaborated in one of the remaining steps in this chapter. 1. One of you chooses a toy and begins to do something with it, the setup. 2. Then the other joins in on the same activity so that the two of you imitate each other, build something together, or take turns to complete the same activity. The theme. 3. Doing the same thing for a while can be boring and repetitive. So after a while, you add some changes to the play. The variations. During the variations, the turn-taking structure continues and the two of you go back and forth playing a little differently from the way you started. 4. As your child's interest in the activity wanes, you know it's time to start a different activity. And so the two of you finish the game you have been playing, the closing, and move on to something else. A transition to a new activity. The new activity begins with another setup or initiation and continues through the theme, one or more variations, and another closing. Rationale. The balance between partners and the structure around a shared theme that are the critical features of joint activities enhance learning opportunities. The back-and-forth interaction of turn-taking repeatedly puts each partner in the other's spotlight of attention. Whenever it's your turn, your child's attentional spotlight is focused on you. He sees what you are about to do, hears your words, sees the effect of your actions, and so can learn from it. Then it is your child's turn, and he can practice right away what he has just seen and heard, with your help, so he is an active learner in the process. Following your child's interest into a theme that your child understands makes the purpose of your actions clear to your child, and that helps him extract the meaning of your gestures and words. In the variation, varying or adding new play materials or actions to a game adds interest to the activity, keeps it from getting too repetitive and boring, and so helps your child stay motivated to keep participating in the activity and to continue learning, practicing, and strengthening new skills. Finally, ending and transitioning or moving on to the next activity in an organized fashion helps you hold your child's attention through the transition and helps your child learn to anticipate what is coming next. The joint activity structure will allow you to help your child learn a wide variety of early social communication skills. Understanding and using everyday language, imitating actions that similar-age children would do, playing flexibly and creatively with others. Jocelyn bought a new toy for 3-year-old Rashid, a round wooden pegboard that held 6 fat red pegs and spun around. She thought this would be a good toy for him. The pegs were fat enough for him to hold easily, and the goal for using the toy was clear. But it was hard to get her son's attention long enough to show him something new. She decided to show it to him while he was having a snack in his high chair. This was one place where he would sit for a while and look at her. So when Rashid was finishing his crackers, Jocelyn set up the toy on the kitchen table right in front of his chair. She put the pegs in the base one by one while talking about what she was doing. "See, baby? Here's a peg. It goes here. And another. And another. They go in." Once they were all in, she spun the base, and they circled around. This was the setup phase. Rashid was watching intently as he finished chewing. Then Jocelyn took the pegs out fast, put the base on his tray, and handed him a peg. He struggled a little, and she helped him put it in. This was the theme. Then she handed him another and another. She helped as needed, so this went easily for Rashid. After he had done 3, she put in 1, her turn, and then gave him another. She put in the last 2 quickly to take a turn and to move the activity along so her son wouldn't lose attention. When they were all in, she spun it for him, variation, which he loved. Then she took out most of them and put them in a plastic container. But she left the last 2 in for him to take out. She helped him put each in the container, closing. Then she took the base off his high chair tray and got him down. Jocelyn had Rashid's attention and participation throughout. She felt great about the success of this new play routine. Step 2. Start to practice. Beginning involves setting up the joint activity. Rationale. The setup phase is important because this is where you first hook your child's interest. You will use your child's toys as the setup that will allow you to demonstrate the theme, introducing a new action that you would like your child to understand and imitate. For example, the setup might be a group of blocks you know your child enjoys. At a moment when your child is unoccupied, you might set up the activity by setting out the container of blocks. Let's play blocks. I've got the blocks. Sit down. Block goes on top. Another block on top. As you take a few and begin to build a tower. Remember to include in the setup good body positioning, with you and your child situated face to face. Good communication relies on your being able to see each other's eyes, facial expressions, gestures, body movements, and words spoken. Now the theme is set, and you pass some blocks to your child. Your child's turn could be imitating what you just did, such as stacking the next block onto the tower, or reaching and saying, "Ba," for block, as a way of signaling that she is motivated to continue the activity. Or she might start doing something else with the blocks. If she does, encourage her and help her build onto the tower or start her own. That's the theme. Go back and forth, each taking a turn and adding to the tower. Then make the variation happen. Knock the blocks down. That's usually fun for children. Then start up again together. Another variation may be lining them up and then driving a car over the road or making them into a square as a house for toy animals. When your child starts to lose interest or you run out of ideas, it's time to clean up. Clean up before your child takes off by having your child help you put the blocks back in the container and put it back. Then it's time to pick another toy. There you have it, a four-part joint activity with turn-taking throughout. Activity. Choose toys or objects that will be helpful in establishing the setup and will become the theme of the play. We generally try to choose the same kinds of objects that other children your child's age typically play with. Both toys and household objects, for instance, pans, lids, or other kitchen and bath materials. This way, your child will know how to play with these objects when she is with children of the same age. Your child probably already chooses objects to play with without your help. If not, you can choose one or two toys or other objects for play that you think will interest your child. Here are some ideas for selecting objects or toys for the setup. Choose objects or toys that have several pieces or that will allow your child to do several different things with the toy. Toys that involve only one action or one piece make it very hard to take turns or to come up with both a theme and a variation. When there are multiple pieces or multiple actions, or both, you and your child can each have a turn doing something or making something interesting happen. This is the idea of shared control. Examples include building blocks, shape sorters, books, a bucket of play animals, toys in which balls are inserted and rolled down a slide, and so on. Caution. Electronic toys are very difficult to use for joint activities because children tend to want to produce the same action again and again. This makes it hard to take turns, come up with variations, or capture your child's attention. Finally, if your child is already playing with a toy, try to start by joining in rather than introducing a new toy. As discussed in Chapter 5, joining your child allows you to follow your child's interest rather than trying to entice your child to shift attention. You will be well positioned in your child's attentional spotlight, interacting, and ready to join in the theme. You can join into your child's theme, take some turns, and then initiate a variation. Caution. Avoid using toys that your child covets highly and or uses for highly repetitive, ritualized actions. It is really hard to develop joint activities out of things your child handles in a special, repetitive, or ritualized way and wants to have all to himself. Sometimes it's possible. It never hurts to try. But if your child resists your taking a turn with it or will not vary the way he handles it, the pattern may be difficult for your child to change. What if your child is absolutely not interested in objects? Go back to Chapter 5 and build up your repertoire of sensory social routines first. Once they are well established, begin to work cause and effect object play into the sensory social routines. Cause and effect object play is play in which you perform an action on a toy or create a big event with the toy. You make something interesting happen as a result of an action on a toy. For example, you could play chase, a sensory social routine, but at the end of the chase, pick up a ball, chase your child with it, and then throw the ball in a basket. Use maracas in a dance during a musical sensory social routine that you and your child already enjoy. Shake the maracas, and then hand them to your child to shake as part of the routine. Notice that in these descriptions of joint activities with objects, we are breaking the rule used in sensory social routines about not letting children play with the objects. That's because now we are elaborating on the basic sensory social routine to include turn-taking, and building children's interest in shared object activities. In other words, you can use the familiar sensory social routine as the setup and theme for the play, and then use the object as a way of varying the theme. Variation. Helpful tip. If your child is already playing with an object, follow all the steps to step into the spotlight. The best teaching moments come when we follow children's leads rather than trying to make them switch. It's true. There is research on this. Helpful tip. Sometimes children want to hold little favorite things in their hands all the time, but will put them down to play with other toys. If so, and you can still get joint activities going even with the favorite things present, then the favorite things are not interfering and you don't need to manage them. But if a child spends all his time focused on holding or manipulating the favorite toys and you cannot draw him into anything else, it is probably a good idea to start to limit the all-absorbing toys. Put the highly preferred toys up and away and allow your child to play with them only at certain times, such as in the car, at bedtime, in the high chair while waiting for dinner, or during the hour that you need to prepare dinner. Summary of Step 2. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have discovered activities with objects or toys that will be used as the main theme of a joint activity. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for taking turns and teaching during joint activities. Knowledge you will use in step 3. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some activities that work for each statement. Activity checklist. Am I setting up a joint activity with my child? My child is playing with toys or objects that other children his or her age would be using. The objects or toys have multiple pieces that can be shared during play. Different actions can be performed with the object or toy to prevent my child from doing the same thing repeatedly. Any mechanical toy or object with an on-off switch has been removed and hidden, or the batteries removed. I remember to situate my child in front of me and sitting or standing comfortably, sitting on the floor, sitting in a chair that fits, or standing at a table that is a good height for playing. I remember the rules for how to follow my child's interests, join in, and imitate or elaborate on my child's action in play. I am conscious of the four parts: setup, theme, variation, and closing, as we go through them. Kylie's parents thought about the different objects that Kylie enjoyed that also would be good for developing joint activities and turn-taking skills. They decided to experiment with only those toys involving multiple pieces. They rearranged Kylie's toys with the multiple-piece objects or toys being in sight, and other toys moved to closets or placed in storage for the time being. The result was a play area containing plastic blocks, animal puzzles, markers and stickers, dress-up items, necklaces, purse, hats, bracelets, sunglasses, Play-Doh, farm animals, and toy drums. Kylie's parents decided to include Kylie's favorite books as well as some new ones because they wanted to encourage and share this interest with her. They figured that they could take turns turning the pages of a book with Kylie. They placed each toy in a clear plastic shoe container so that all pieces could be kept together but would still be visible to Kylie when she and a parent were deciding which one to use for play. That way, they would encourage Kylie to ask for help getting things out of their containers, and would also prevent Kylie from becoming disorganized by having too many toys available at once. They found that doing so helped organize Kylie's play from the start, because parents and child were able to select together which shoe container to take to the table, couch, or floor. Similarly, when it was time to clean up the play, the shoe container was in close proximity for Kylie's parents to teach her how to put away all items and place the container back on the shelf before selecting the next shoe container. What about Rashid? After reviewing the activity checklist for Step 2, Rashid's parents decided to get rid of his electronic toys. Not only was it extremely difficult to get their son to look at his parents while he was fixated on the toys' sounds and lights, but the more time he spent with these toys, the more he engaged in arm flapping and body rocking. Rashid's parents understood, however, that their son might need encouragement and help to develop interest in non-electronic toys. Before starting on joint activities, they set out different objects and toys to find out what he might like. They watched Rashid play with a ball ramp toy, placing a ball at the top and watching it roll down the tunnel, push pegs through their holes, and touch the pages of books that had textures on them. His parents were thrilled that Rashid paid attention to and seemed to enjoy a few non-electronic toys. Also, his selection of toys involved multiple pieces, balls, pegs, pages that could be touched, handed over, taken turns with, and imitated during play. Rashid's parents now felt that they had an initial blueprint for starting joint activities with their son and revisited the Step 2 activity checklist questions with these new routines in mind. Step 3. Set the theme. Rationale. You need to create a theme inside the play, something that you and your child can each take turns doing to turn the activity into a shared interaction, so that the activity does in fact become a joint activity and turn-taking can occur. If your child sets the theme, for example, picking up a rolling pin to roll Play-Doh, rolling the car back and forth, or starting to stack the blocks, follow your child's lead and take a turn doing the same thing. When it's your turn, you could simply imitate what the child is doing using other pieces of the material. For example, your turn could be adding another block to the tower, using a second rolling object on a piece of Play-Doh, or taking another ball and inserting it into the tube after your child has done so. What if your child doesn't take the first turn? If your child doesn't take the first turn, or if you want to demonstrate a new toy, you can show the child what to do and then give the materials to your child. Or you can demonstrate and then give your child his own materials, just like yours, and help your child copy what you just did. For example, to play with Play-Doh, you might make a shape out of the dough with a cookie cutter and then label the shape by saying, "It's a star." In your first turn, you have set a theme. You've shown your child how to use a cutter to make a shape and also provided a new word to build your child's vocabulary. Or if your child likes bubbles, you might puff your cheeks and blow air out of your mouth in your turn with the bubbles so that your child looks at you and you have a chance to demonstrate the gesture. You could then say the word blow after doing this to name the action, and then label bubbles when you've blown some. Eventually, you will find a joint activity in which the two of you can take turns. Activity. Name objects and actions while engaging in turn-taking. Adding words to your play, as just described, is something that most parents do automatically. It's good to add some words, name objects, add sound effects, and label the actions. But for a child with ASD, it's particularly important to keep your language simple, almost as simple as your child's, as described in more detail in Chapter 13. If your child is not talking yet, then keep your language short and direct. For example, if the activity involves Play-Doh, you can label objects and actions like dough, open, roll, push, poke, cut, and the names of the cookie cutters, for example, square, circle, tree, plane. Appropriate two-word action and label phrases might include open dough, cut dough, push square, take out, put in, blue dough, top on, and so forth. Helpful tip. To learn about turn-taking, your child needs to be watching you take your turn. If he doesn't seem to be paying attention, shift your position if you're not already face-to-face. If possible, position materials in front of your face so that your child looks at your face as well as the materials. Do not be afraid to take a toy quickly. Say, "My turn," take a turn, and then give the toy back. That usually brings attention. Your child may fuss at first because he doesn't know the routine, but if you take short turns and always give the object back right away, your child will become accustomed to the turn-taking routine. Here are some ideas for words to go with joint activities. During toy play, as your child is taking her turn, think of what the object or material is called, and name it out loud when your child is holding, touching, or reaching for it. Do the same for simple actions that you and your child do with the object. Put in, take out, shake, roll, bang, open, close, scribble, clap, hop, up, down, and so on. Repeat the word when it is your turn to use the object. Do the same during social games without objects. What actions, gestures, and body movements happen during songs and physical games? Start giving names to all of these opportunities. Summary of Step 3. The theme might feel a little repetitive in these first few turns, but that's necessary so your child can learn what will happen next and also learn to wait for your turn. But it should also be interesting and fun, and that means your child gets her turns quickly. Once you and your child have gotten the hang of this, it should feel balanced, with roughly equal numbers of turns. In play, partners are equal. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for taking turns and teaching inside joint activities, knowledge you will use in step 4. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity checklist. What is the joint activity theme? I have found objects or games that provide opportunities for turn-taking with my child in play. I follow my child's lead and imitate his or her action when taking my turn. I have my child's attention when taking my turn. I use simple language to name the objects and actions during play. My child and I take turns acting as equal partners to create a theme when playing together. What about Kylie? For Kylie's parents, the biggest challenge was how to take turns without upsetting Kylie. Her parents continued practicing the setup with Kylie, helping her take down the shoe container she wanted to play with, and setting up the materials at her table or on the floor. Kylie had become accustomed to this routine and understood that her parents were there to help and support her interest, to play and have fun. Once the materials were set up, though, Kylie's parents weren't sure how to continue their involvement or take their next turn in the activity. They desperately wanted to play with and show her things they thought she might enjoy, but they didn't want their turns to upset her. So they reviewed Chapter 4 and paid particular attention to the strategies of following their child's lead and using imitation for becoming more involved play partners. Having the toys already organized in the shoe containers and having multiple pieces made it easier to take the next object out and do exactly what Kylie had done with the prior piece. Put in the next puzzle item, stack the next block, bang the drum, or scribble on the paper with the marker. They continued naming the objects and Kylie's and their actions. Cow put in. Block on. Bang, bang, bang. Or marker. Here's paper. Open marker. Scribble, scribble, scribble. They also started paying attention to the pace and how rewarding the play was to Kylie, because they wanted to make sure that Kylie would pay attention to their turns without finding it a negative experience. They decided their turns needed to be fun, fast, and focused, so they made quick motions with their turn, putting one piece in the puzzle, placing one block onto the tower, hitting the drum once, or scribbling once on the paper. They also started experimenting with new actions, gestures, and sound effects to add to their turns, such as making animal sounds when placing pieces into the puzzle, having the block blast off from the ground and land on the tower, or drawing stars and hearts, Kylie's favorites, on paper. Kylie soon started paying more attention to her parents' turns, and then smiling and laughing at the sounds or effects added to the play, and finally imitating their actions in her turn. She liked their play better. Sometimes she still wanted to play with her toys her way and didn't gravitate toward their ideas right away, but that didn't concern her parents anymore. If things started to deteriorate, they felt confident with their repair plan and applied the same strategies of helping, imitating, and narrating play before gradually taking more deliberate but fun turns in the activity. The outcome was a repertoire of common themes or play actions that both parents and daughter could construct and enjoy together. Step 4. Elaborate the joint activity. Add the variations. Rationale. When we play, we pick an idea or theme and repeat it during play. But we don't remain stuck or limited to repeating the same theme over and over again in the same way. The natural tendency in play is to start a play theme and after a little while begin elaborating creatively on the theme to add interest and enjoyment. This is the basis of creative play. One minute children might be playing house, and the next they're action heroes flying around the room to save the day. Or an activity that started off as squeezing Play-Doh through fingers can turn into making animals and then making those animals run, hop, and crawl across the table. Children's play typically evolves and varies as it goes along, and we want children with ASD to be able to participate in creative play with their peers, as well as to initiate and contribute their own ideas during play. That's how they learn about different concepts: make-believe, role-play, ways to carry out conventional or customary actions with everyday objects. Adding materials, ideas, or actions to the initial theme is called variation or elaboration. It highlights different aspects of an activity so that a child learns different concepts, including that objects can be used in many different ways. Flexible play. It helps develop your child's creativity and imagination, and it also prevents boredom, so the learning can continue. Activity. Try different ways of varying or elaborating on the theme. There is no right way to vary or elaborate on a play theme. The only wrong way, in fact, is if you start directing the play, expecting the child to imitate every new move you introduce. Be sure that the theme is really well established first, you have repeated it several times, and that you are following your child as much as you are asking your child to follow you. If variations are hard to think of, just do something different with the same materials while your child is looking. And if she doesn't copy you or try something else, then help her do what you just did. Praise your child for trying. Then let your child do whatever she wants to do with the materials. Here are some ideas for varying the theme. Add new materials. After taking turns with a toy or object, begin to add more pieces to the play activities and show your child how to add them to the theme. For example, if the theme is scribbling on paper with a marker, add a marker of a different color. Add some stickers that you can peel off, put on the paper, and color over. Or add chalk and show your child how chalk can also be used to make marks. Vary the actions. After taking turns performing an action, change the action slightly. For example, if the theme is stacking blocks and you have established the theme of taking turns putting a block on the stack, begin lining them up rather than stacking them, and then maybe drive little cars over the lined up blocks as if they were a road. Add more steps to the action you are performing. For example, if the theme is putting pieces in a puzzle and you and your child have been taking turns taking each piece out of a container and putting it in, Then the variation might be taking all the pieces out of the puzzle, spreading them around the table, and then showing them to each other and naming the pictures before each one goes in. Or a different variation, for a child who can make simple requests and name the pictures, could be requesting a certain piece from the other person. Summary of Step 4. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have developed different strategies for varying or elaborating the joint activity. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for taking turns and teaching inside joint activities. Knowledge you will use in Step 5. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist. Am I varying or elaborating the joint activity? I know how to add new materials to the initial play theme I have established with my child. I know how to add new actions to the initial theme. I know how to add new steps to the initial theme. My child seems comfortable with the variation, playing with objects, smiling at times, focused on the play, and calm, interested, or happy, excited, and continues to take turns. What about Rashid? In place of the discarded electronic toys, Rashid's parents set out a variety of other toys to see what he might enjoy, which turned out to be a ball ramp toy, a peg toy, and a book that provided textures to touch. These toys were used to set up joint activities with Rashid. Rashid chose which one to play with each time, and his mother imitated his actions to establish turn-taking and initiate the first theme. With the ball or peg toys, turns involved each partner's pushing through or placing the object in the hole, whereas books involved Rashid's holding them and turning pages, and Jocelyn's touching the textures and pointing to pictures after each page was turned. She also made sure to name each object or picture and action happening in the play. Push ball. Peg in. More ball. Open book. Turn. There's a mouse. That's soft. And so forth. Jocelyn then thought that expanding on the play theme might increase her son's interest and time spent in the activity. She decided to start with adding materials to the activities, so as not to disrupt or change the actions Rashid had become accustomed to and enjoyed. For the ball ramp toy, during her turn, Jocelyn showed Rashid how to hit the ball with the hammer to make it go down the ramp. She repeated the action with the new item during her turns while Rashid continued using his hand to push the ball in. But she exaggerated the motion with sound effects and alternated between hitting the ball slow, fast and light, hard with the hammer. After a few turns of modeling the hammer, she then handed it to Rashid and quickly helped him hold it to hit the ball. She alternated between having him use the hammer and letting him use his hands so he wasn't turned off by the new themes seeming too hard. She also offered choices at times between ball versus hammer and hit with hammer versus push with hands, so Rashid felt that the interaction and the turn-taking were balanced. She continued naming each object and action in the activity to help Rashid understand and begin to imitate single words related to the things he wanted to do. Once adding materials, such as the hammer, proved successful, Jocelyn decided to try introducing other new actions. First, she started showing him other actions to do with pegs. For instance, instead of hammering them, she showed him how to stack them into a tower with the connectors on each end, and then, once the tower was a reasonable size, how to roll the tower across the table. Rashid was not expecting this change, but he watched intently as the multicolored tower rolled from his mother's side of the table over to him. Jocelyn then said, "Roll," and helped him push it back over to her. She added another peg to the tower and rolled it again, helping Rashid now do the same. After a few back-and-forth rounds, Rashid began rolling the tower by himself with smiles and delight, until the tower became too long to roll and fell apart into pieces. But that didn't worry Jocelyn, because now she had another action to name. Uh-oh! Pegs fell off! And an opportunity to build the joint activity with several themes all over again. Step 5. Close the joint activity and transition to the next. Rationale. After you have played for a while, one of three things is bound to happen. Either your child's interest wanes, or your interest wanes, or you cannot think of anything else to do, and the play has gotten really repetitive. When there's nothing more to teach, or you or your child loses interest, it's time to put the toy away and transition to something else. This is the closing. In an ideal closing, one of the two partners makes a move to end, and you keep operating as partners. Follow your child's lead, but offer guidance through the closing. Activity. Maintain the balanced partnership while you close and transition. Here are some ideas for closing the joint activity and moving on. If you see signs that the activity has lost its teaching potential, suggest something like, "Are you all done? Should we finish?" and get out the container that holds the pieces, putting a piece in and encouraging your child to do the same. The two of you will put the pieces away together, close the container together, put it back where it goes together, and then make a transition to a new activity. Or your child may signal you that he's finished. If your child refuses to play with the materials any longer, pushes them away, starts to move away, starts being very repetitive in a way that makes it hard to take turns, or shows loss of interest by losing energy, suggest that it's time to be all done and help the cleanup begin. Some children, after they learn the routine, may say, "All done," on their own, or begin to put materials away and lead you through the process of closing. If the activity becomes really repetitive, but your child wants to continue, offer a new activity that will be very attractive to the child so that she stays motivated to play with you. Present the new toy to your child while she is still playing repetitively with the first one. Offer it to her, operate it, and make it look really great. See if your child will reach for it. If so, do a trade, giving her the new toy and taking away the old one. Get it out of sight fast. Chances are that this will work well, and you will then be at the initiation phase of a new joint activity. If it doesn't work well and your child protests, go ahead and give a piece or two back, but a minimal amount, and then try again in a few minutes with a different toy. Eventually, your child will get bored. When you transition to another activity, how do you decide whether to do a sensory social routine or a joint activity with objects? We recommend going back and forth between sensory social routines and object-focused joint activity routines to keep things lively and varied. Sensory social routines are best at times when you want to optimize your child's arousal and motivation for learning. Some children have a preference for one or the other. For example, for a child who prefers object-oriented joint activity routines, you may have to make a concerted effort to add sensory social routines. For a child who does not enjoy objects, you'll have to build up object-focused joint activity routines more gradually. Over time, and as your child's play gets more mature and sophisticated, you will find that you will naturally start incorporating more and more social exchanges into object-focused joint activity routines. The two kinds of routines will naturally become more similar over time. Think about preschool children playing dress-up or action figures. There are as many social elements to their play as there are object-focused actions. However, all the way through preschool and into kindergarten, school programs provide both kinds of activities. Free play often involves more actions on objects, and circle time generally involves songs, finger plays, and other sensory social routines. Book activities and pretend play often blend both. Making sure that you are using the same kinds of play routines other children your child's age are using in both your sensory social and your object-focused joint activity routines prepares your child for group learning experiences. Summary of Step 5. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have developed all of the stages or steps of a joint activity, and now have several routines that you and your child can do daily and share with one another. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for taking turns and teaching inside joint activities. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist. Am I closing the joint activity and moving on? I know when my child is losing interest in a joint activity. I know when the activity is becoming too repetitive or too over or under stimulating for my child to learn from. My child helps me clean up the joint activity. If my child resists closing an activity, I use repair strategies, offer a choice, activate new toy, trade materials to help my child transition to the next joint activity. I can help my child transition to a new joint activity while maintaining my child's attention and interaction. What about Kylie? Kylie's parents were concerned about her lack of interest in sensory social routines. Without objects, she just didn't seem to care. But they had seen how much Kylie enjoyed being tickled with objects, and recently she loved it when Dad used an animal puzzle piece and made the animal sound before placing it in the puzzle. They knew from listening to Chapter 5 that props can be used to support children's attention to people's faces and bodies during these routines. So Mom began taking turns with Kylie, hitting her toy drum with a stick or hands. After a few rounds of this exchange, Mom covered her face with the drum and started a game of peekaboo, She did this a few times, exaggerating the boo, and even tickling Kylie after appearing from behind the drum. Next, Mom placed the drum in front of Kylie's face and said, boo, for her, as she pulled the drum away and tickled her daughter. Kylie liked this game for a few minutes, but then started backing away as if to say she was done. Mom responded by acknowledging that Kylie was all done with peekaboo and took out a party horn to blow.